The Hyundai A-League home and away season is over for 2014-15, meaning we've got six combatants to contest the Champions Trophy coming up, the Champions Plate coming up, the toilet bowl seat, whatever you would like to call it. It's not too far away. Adam Peacock was with us from Fox Sports to talk all about it. G'day, Peacock.
How are you going, mate?
Very well, very well. What did you make of the weekend's action? Let's start with yesterday's game at Amy Park, with Melbourne Victory claiming a 3-1 victory over Central Coast to take out the Premier's Plate.
Yeah, good on them. Tipped them at the start of the season, so I was happy that finally something has come right in one of my predictions. But no, for the club that had got it right in the off-season, it's just reward for what they did in terms of their recruitment and Kevin Muscat changing the style that he wanted to play from the handover from Ange Postecoglou. He didn't change too much last season. He shifted things around this season. It was a great afternoon for all the fans there. It was great to see 22,000 people there celebrating. And that last 10 minutes gave a little inkling. Now, it's obviously not the ideal situation that if Melbourne Victory hosts the grand final, it'll be at Amy Park. But what it will be that afternoon, okay, a few people that probably want to go won't be able to go because there's a number of tickets available, but it's going to be one hell of an atmosphere if there's a grand final there. So it'll be good for the game in that sense. But Victory, they deserve the week to kind of reflect on what they've done, but they won't. They'll enjoy their week off and prepare as best they can for 2 weeks' time. But a wonderful achievement and, a long time coming as well.
We'll talk more about the Victory shortly. Let's go talk about the beaten brigade for the weekend, particularly those that aren't playing in the Hyundai A-League finals. Central Coast losing 3-1 on the weekend sort of finalised what's been a really ordinary year. What do they need to do? Where do they go from here, Central Coast, to regroup?
Grow up. Basically, from what I can see, they're treating the club not like a professional, totally professional environment and an A-League standard of what we want A-League clubs to be off the field, and then it translates onto the field. Some of the things that some of the cost-saving measures and some of the stuff that they're doing and some of the ways that the club management has operated in the past 12 months, simply not good enough. So that's where it starts for them, and if they can fix that, they'll give themselves a hope on the field.
Let's talk about Adelaide United and Melbourne City. 4-1, the Reds were way too good, and Tarek Alrich's solo performance has gone global. It's an internet sensation at the moment. Obviously, that's good news in the build-up to the finals for Adelaide, but where do Melbourne City see themselves now, do you think?
They're looking in the mirror, and it's a bit like waking up with a king-size hangover, and you're trying to figure out what the hell has happened. Over the last month, they haven't won a game. It's rough for Melbourne City. I don't know how they're going to turn it around and go over to Wellington, where they've been spanked a couple of times in the past couple of years. I'm not entirely sure how it's going to happen for them, but at least they've given themselves a chance. They did make the top six on merit, it must be said. They get into the finals in fifth position because of what happened to Perth Glory. So it's not all doom and gloom, but they've got to somehow fix things. And I personally, after what I saw in that first half, especially against Adelaide, I'm not entirely sure how that's going to happen.
And just on Alrich's performance and Adelaide's performance, I suppose, as well. That looked pretty clinical to me. Obviously, moments of brilliance like you get from Alrich certainly help, but they seem much more effective all over the park, pretty much, than Melbourne City.
Yeah, they were brilliant. I keep on bleating about Karuska, and he's the barometer for Adelaide United. He didn't play again, so I thought they might have struggled a little bit, but they didn't look like they missed him at all. It's probably their best ever performance without Karuska, so he'll play this weekend. I think he was just being rested, so he'll play against Brisbane on Friday night, and that's a massive inclusion for them, obviously, but very, very impressed just with the tempo and their intent as well. So it is there if they want it. It's just a matter of finding it because it's come and gone all throughout the season, especially after winning the FFA Cup.
The other really important game on the weekend was in Wellington, where the Phoenix hosted Sydney FC. They were fighting for that second position, as we spoke about on Friday. And Sydney FC, too good over there. I mean, you've talked about how good they've been on the road. I think they're undefeated on the road this season in the A-League. And their ability to hit the scoreboard, I mean, that's what makes them such a dangerous team. 2-1 over Wellington.
Yeah, they're always in the game. It doesn't matter, and they haven't been so much after the Asian Cup break, in the sense that they've struggled to get a foothold in certain games or anything like that. But even if they do find themselves in that situation in the grand final or the semi-final that they play in 2 weeks, they'll always be in it because they've got that moment of brilliance in them from any of their players in the front half of the pitch. So, very good. And they are the informed team of the competition. They've won 10 of their last 13 games going into the finals. So even though Victory ended up with a Premier's plate, deservedly so as well, because that was over the whole course of the season, Sydney FC, for mine, going into the final series, are probably the favourites to win the grand final if they keep their current form up.
And what did Wellington take out of that performance on the weekend?
A little bit better, but they just got blown away by a better side. So their issue isn't so much this weekend. They should be too good for Melbourne City, you would think. But the week after, they're going to have to beat either Sydney FC away from home or Melbourne Victory away from home. Now, the thing that they have in their locker is the fact that they have done both of those things so far this season.
Yep.
But that was when they were playing much better football. Now, it's a different equation. They seem to have tailed off a little bit, so they've got to rectify that somehow. And they're one of those magical things that we don't see. It happens either in the tactics room with Ernie Merrick or indeed on the training pitch with the players.
To the beaten brigade, West Sydney went down to Perth Glory 2-1 in Western Sydney. And a little bit of a flare-up, pardon the pun, Adam, with some of the crowd members as well. But Perth, I mean, it's been such a... I imagine for the players, it's been such a difficult month, the last month of the season, knowing that you're not going to be playing finals regardless. I think that we tip our lids a bit to Perth to be able to keep fighting in this last month and finish off like they did on Friday night or Saturday.
Yeah, what summed everything up was the fact that the joint got hit by a massive hailstorm 45 minutes before kickoff, and kickoff had to get delayed. So that pretty much encapsulated what has gone on with both those clubs so far this season in a different kind of way. Just back to the crowd issue, there is a bit of... it's a bit of a shame, the whole story, obviously, but the problem is that it looks as though the New South Wales police aren't telling the whole truth. Now, fully behind our police officers and everything like that and what they do in the community, but their media department has come out and said that there was no real trouble, no one was taken to hospital. One kid actually got taken to hospital because he had an allergic reaction because he got caught in the crossfire of pepper spray being sprayed. So.
Right.
All we want is the actual truth so we can then make a judgment on what exactly went down and who's to blame and all those things. At the moment, it doesn't seem like we're being fed the truth, which is very unfortunate, and hopefully all the authorities, including the FFA and New South Wales Police, can sit down and work out what the hell is going on, because that's simply not good enough. And for mine, pepper spray in a football, in a sporting venue, it's pretty much not on, I would have thought. There are other ways to evict unruly patrons or whatever like that. I can't understand why you'd need to spray pepper spray around the joint.
Yeah, well, you'd think it'd be a last resort style measure for that situation to occur. So, again, if we're not getting fed the full truth, nothing but the truth, it makes it difficult to assess the situation.
Exactly, yeah. So hopefully it comes out in the next couple of days. But on the field for Western Sydney Wanderers, switching back to that, because we are talking about sport and we're not one of those talk programs who get into other things and go off on tangents, although we did for the last 2 minutes.
We've been known to do that.
The Wanderers need, basically, it's all down to recruitment for them. If they get their recruiting right in the next couple of months, they'll be fine next season. If they don't, they're going to have another season like they did.
Well, they survived the wooden spoon somehow, the West Sydney Wanderers. Newcastle took that when they went down to Brisbane Roar 2-1. One on Friday night. Brisbane Roar, we've spoken about them a fair bit in the last 6 weeks. They're building towards a finals campaign. They get their chance this week.
Yeah. They're one of the more impressive looking teams. I mean, you look at their record in Adelaide, it's outstanding. I think it's the last six they've gone there and beaten Adelaide United. Maybe going to a new venue might cruel them. Instead of Cooper Stadium, they're playing at Adelaide Oval this Friday night. So, yeah, I can't rule them out at the moment for anything in the final series. So we'll wait and see. But they've got a lot of experience. They've got a lot of know-how when it comes to this time of the season in A-League. So I think outside the top two, they're the most dangerous commodity going into the final series.
So it's Friday night at Cooper Stadium, Adelaide hosting Brisbane, and then Sunday evening, our time, or afternoon evening, 5 o'clock, Wellington hosting Melbourne City at Westpac Stadium. Catch all the action, of course, live on Fox Sports. Just as a summary of the home and away season as a whole, Adam, the quality, the engagement from the media, from the fans, from the attendances, that type of thing, what's it been like, do you think?
Even. I think. Yeah. I don't think we can yell from the rooftops about how magnificent it is and what a huge improvement it was on last season, but it was sustained. I know those are unglamorous terms, even and sustained, but my opinion, that's what the A-League needs in the next 10 years, is just sustained growth, step by step by step. And, okay, it didn't take a massive leap forward this season, but it didn't take a massive leap backwards and fall down in any great measure. So, okay, you've got the salary cap issue. That's an isolated incident. It happens in all codes. And obviously Perth Glory have got to fix themselves. But there's that issue. I think the recruitment is getting better slowly in terms of a general sense about players. But we need those big names. We need some sparkling names coming to the games, to the league next season, two or three huge names, which are going to make people sit up and notice, especially in those early stages, October, November, when we're trying to gain traction.
Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory get a week off, which is very, very important. Before I let you go, Kevin Muscat, coach of the Victory, he's got some silverware, he's got a trophy in the cabinet now. There's some question marks asked about him when he took over the role from Ange Postecoglou. Does this validate his selection from the Victory's point of view?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You win a trophy. God, you can do what you want. It buys you time. That's the greatest currency in football, a trophy. So, yeah, he's totally justified, and he's made himself a manager now. So it's up to him what he wants to be in terms of going on for that and the legacy he wants to leave at a football club. He's already got a pretty good one at Melbourne Victory. But, yeah, it'll really cap it off, though, if he wins the double. I think there'll be a huge amount of disappointment if he can't win the double from his point of view. But you can only congratulate him. And as I said before, he changed things. Ange Postecoglou is measured as a genius in A-League circles. He actually changed what Ange Postecoglou set up at Melbourne Victory and put it in his own way, his own direction, off-field staff, on-field personnel. Yeah, it's all him, so well done.
Well done to him. He's got a week to think about, or just chill out, really, and watch the other four teams combat on Friday and Sunday in the Hyundai A-League finals. Looking forward to all that. Of course, we'll talk more about that Friday, Adam. I look forward to your company then.
Yeah, cool, mate. Have a good one.
Adam Peacock from Fox Sports with us on Halftime.